summertime is coming, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain thyme grows around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie, go?
Hello, and welcome into episode 104 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and we'll have Quattro, who's not quite as noisy as Shiny Bee Podcast's dog Bowser, but he's there nonetheless. And today I've got a blether with Competitive, What's a Crack, Swap, and Caltastic section, Me, 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 Runny, 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 and the Caithness section, and a sort of shoppy section. I sponsor this for my own energy engineering business, Energy Hunt. Any links that are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram, I'll let you know what crack is in Caithness this week.
Now for the blether.
The blether. Competitive. Well, this Sunday sees me going for the May 10K. It's the most northerly race in mainland Scotland. I'm looking to complete it in under an hour, which is slow for some people, fast for others. And for me, the accumulation of 19 weeks of training. I know I won't be first, because the course will likely get the winner coming in just over the half an hour. But this race, I know I won't be the last, which will be nice, because the past few events I've run, I was last or second last. I've mentioned that I use an app called Strava, and it records your time and efforts through GPS, and you can follow other people's progress too. Now, I don't use this as a social media, so don't bother going looking for me, but I follow a lady who's been training for the May 10K for about the same time as me. I found myself comparing my times and speed to her, and she's done the same back to me, and we both agreed that this competitive edge came out in both of us. I wondered, why was this? I'm not normally competitive. I'd happily play a board game or card game, and if I win, I win. If I lose, I lose. As long as Richard isn't goading me, all is well with the world. I looked up on the internet about why we like to win, and on a psychology website, I found this. Winning is an outcome. However, when people become obsessed with outcomes, they can lose sight of the journey, lose sight of who they are and how they got there, and lose appreciation for the value of people who don't win. That's quite a scary warning, isn't it? Hopefully, I've not lost sight of the 19 weeks of training that we've got to come to this point. I've lost my inches round myself, I've lost a little bit of weight, I'm down to 9 stone, hooray, and stabilising there too. I haven't lost the sight of where my journey is. I haven't lost of appreciation for the value of people who don't win, because the people at the back, I've been a person at the back, it doesn't mean that we've trained any harder or less than the people at the front. It just happens to be that these people at the front of this race are like cheetahs. I think that's the safest way to put it. No, I'm happy for them, just as I'm sure that they're happy that they're not last. Coming up on the 7th of June is the Canasby Show, and there's an open competition for handicrafts. The schedule is as follows. A cross-stitch picture, a pin cushion in any craft, a tea cosy in any craft, an infinity woolen scarf, 3 crochet snowflakes, bunting, maximum of 10 pennants, 3 Christmas tree decorations in different crafts displayed on an 8-inch cake board, an iPad or tablet cover in any craft, and an exhibit using buttons. Now, so far I've made the scarf, and even then I don't really think it's up to show standard. I'm starting to run out of time to do the rest of it, and although I have some ideas for them, I don't seem to have much enthusiasm to start making them. And this is not because I don't want to win, it's because I don't have a need for the items after, and I'm practical that way. Plus, I don't know if I want to spend the time making them perfect. It is nice when you come into the hall after it's judged to see a rosette on your entry though, but it's still a competition and the competitive edge is required. When you put things into shows, you have to make sure that they are a good enough standard to withstand the judge's critical eye. They're looking to see which has been made to the best standard, the best show of talent and finesse. They have to compare items and they then go down to the nth degree of pernickety-ness. And it's hard to judge between two, say, iPad covers when you first look at them, but then you start looking at them closer and you notice if the material is used for suitable for purpose, Has it withstood the making part, or are there any holes or mistakes in the pattern? Then you go and see how it's finished off. Does it have neat stitches, or has it been lashed on and the glue is showing all over? Now, my mum is the judge of the Canasby Show Handicrafts this year, and she's very, very good at being pernickety. And I'm not, hence the reluctance. I'll let you know what stuff I put in. It's not a case of if, it's what. Because you have to have an entry. I also find myself comparing myself to other podcasters. Do we have the same amount of listeners or group members or reviews on iTunes? And I've stopped myself from doing this because I am unique in my randomness. Who else can wow you with tales of whiskey and knitting and running and Keith's history all in the same episode? We are all different and we all have our own tales to tell. Yeah, it would be nice if I had the most listeners, the most reviews on iTunes, but you know what? I don't. I'm quite comfortable losing at Connect Four. I don't mind. And as tomorrow, I'll still wake up and I'll have to get the burns up for school, feed and walk the dog, do the housework. Well, I'm actually washing the windows tomorrow. And having all those statistics of, woohoo, I've got more listeners than someone else. That's not going to change that. It's reality. But is that a loser's perspective? Do you think of people as winners or losers? Competition is a double-edged sword. It used to be critical for life. So if you won the race to the food, then you ate and you survived back in the day, caveman days. People would look up to you. You became head of the tribe. But then there's always someone behind you chasing at your heels, wanting your place. And you're always scared that you're not going to be king of the hill for much longer. Nowadays, we've gone to the other extreme of some schools give out awards for just taking part. Actually, our school does that sometimes. And I think I would have quite liked that. I was never an award-winning pupil. I'm middle of the road. Average. I'm the one that puts an entry into the Canasby Show. Doesn't get a prize, but it's nice to look at when you're there. At the back of the crowd. So if there has to be a crowd, I'll be part of it. And I've decided that I'm the one in the action film that gets washed away. Or I wear the red top in the Star Trek. And I'm not saying this for, oh, woe is me. Be nice to me, comments. I'm not the fastest, the strongest, the bravest. I stumble. I'm quite clumsy, but I plod on. Like the tortoise and the tortoise and the hare, which I read again this week as bedtime story, I get there in the end. I'm the one who's consistently there every fortnight for you. The last break I had from podcasting probably was a year ago in August. See? Didn't think about that now, did you? Competition in business is a whole other blether left for another time. So as I said, I looked up on the internet on the lore of Google about why we're competitive. And some of it is because of the survival, some of it's because we have low self-esteem, which is increased if we win or we beat someone and can trigger the unwelcome jealousy traits. You want to beat so-and-so because you don't like so-and-so. Not necessarily because you just want to be first. Well, I'll tell you this now. We have to remind our son to be a gracious winner and a loser. It can be hard to win or lose graciously, but we have it in us. Smile, thank and move on. And put that saber-toothed tiger down, you at the back. We don't need them anymore. All the best if you're putting entries into the county shows and running races. Sports days at schools are coming up, so remember and be a gracious winner or a gracious loser. If you need a pee, stop, because it's time for the Daisy and the Sandy giggle.
Hello,
section. A Sandy hello to new to me, been with me a while now and been with me forever listeners. I really appreciate you tuning in and I hope you're enjoying yourselves and thank you for all the iTunes ratings that I'm assuming that you've put because I've just realised I forgot to look up. The other thing I like to thank you for is once I've put the episode out and I get quoted back something I've said on Twitter or in a message, it just makes me giggle. Oh, you actually listened to that. A Sandy hello to new group members, Barbear, Melissa Jean Design, Pim, Antique Lace, and Bethy 40. Random hellos to Yarn Salad, Good Girls Saturday, Angora, Joy Lynn, BZ Mum 5, Quilt Bunny, and Furry Face Fibers. Random hello to Leslie Deerdorf, who's doing a 5k the same day I'm doing my 10k. And I will be thinking of you as I pop past the 5 kilometre mark and you're finished and I'm not. I have a love-hate relationship with this running malarkey, don't I? But all the best, Leslie, you're doing it in a lovely cause.
What's the crack section?
What's the crack? I found a good wee picture on Twitter the other day, and it was saying that if you do something that you're scared of doing, in my case using the telephone, then, well done, you're brave. It's the little things in life that we sometimes need to be proud of. I then made the telephone call, and it turns out loads of you Twitter listeners are the same as me. You hate the phone too. And I've said this quite a few times in the past. I don't really mind answering the phone. I'm not so good at conversation on the phone. But ask me to make the phone call, I put it off or try to get around it as much as possible. This infuriates Richard immensely. Anyway, I have a new strategy I thought we could try and see if it works. And I tried it yesterday and it worked for me. Pretend you are phoning yourself when you are phoning someone. Have a bullet list of things you want to say and remember to breathe in and out. I often find myself with lots or no breath in me, which is really daft because it's just a phone call. We can all phone ourselves, can't we? So, phone revolution, try it and tell me how you get on. And it will sometimes end up being a hard phone call, but don't worry, because then that's you on a really bad day. And I tried out some new podcasts this week because I listened to all the ones that I had. Because I needed to go out and weed the garden. It has started in earnest. Poor Ernest, he does insist on having weeds. So I tried The Nerdist, which had an interview with Eddie Izzard, and I really liked that episode. And then I tried running to BBC Radio 4's Great Lives, and this is where they talk about famous people who have had, well, great lives. The one I listened to was John Steinbeck, the author. It's quite interesting. Because they don't just say, oh, he was great, he was great, he was great. They say, well, he wasn't all that great. He did X, Y, and Z. So it's quite balanced. It was a balanced discussion, I thought. And also, I've got Dan Carlin's Hardcore History, which has 5 episodes about Genghis Khan. Although he calls him Genghis Khan, weirdly. And his clan. And it's more akin to a history lecturer class, but very interesting so far, and I've listened to 2.5 of them. It's very long, but great for weeding the garden. And I tried again Stuff You Missed in History class, and this one was about the Battle of the Pig, which nearly started a war between Great Britain and the USA back in the 1850s about a pig. And then Knitting Dish suggested Sitting and Knitting, which is Diana from Ohio, and she's done the unusual thing of going from a video podcast to an audio podcast. It's normally the other way around. And I liked her content, which is pretty much knitting, but I thought, oh, she speaks awfully quickly. I know some of you think that I speak quickly. That is actually how I sound. But I listened to 2.5 episodes this week and made me want to slow down myself for you. Then I happened to look at my phone and realised that I had clicked the speed to 1.5. So no wonder poor Diane was fast. So I changed that. Total user error there. Oh, she's lovely, much better. I had a bit of a stalk, befriended her, follow her on Instagram. And the only thing I'm going to say is her Ravelry name is His Handmade. And it's made as in M-A-I-D, not as in M-A-D-E. Because I nearly followed some other random person on Instagram. But again, that's my user error. However, it's made me remember Sitting and Knitting podcast, and I do recommend that you go over and have a wee try. And the lovely Sandrada had a good suggestion. Podcast buddies. So I wondered if anyone, this is what she said, I wondered if anyone, especially those living away from others, would like a Caithness Craft Collective email pen pal. They could say if they wanted to talk craft only or were happy to discuss current affairs as well. Some might like to mentor a beginner. Beginners might want an email aunt to help them with their knitting projects. Or an email uncle, because we do have male listeners too. Hello London Sam, for instance. And all the husbands and partners and general hangers-oners that are having to put up with listening to me, drone about me, sorry. But you're really nice doing that for your loved one. right, loved one, give that person something that they like. Nice cup of tea, or a beer, or a dram, or a bit of chocolate, or a rub of the neck. Because, yeah, I don't even like to listen to me drone on sometimes. I think they deserve it. Now, I think that Sandrada's idea is a great idea. I love getting messages and emails from you, and I fear that one day I'll be overwhelmed and be a poor replier. And I try not to be, so this is a good way of spreading it around. Yes, notice I'm delegating this. So I'll start a thread for you to start putting your name onto, and I think I'll let you organise yourselves on it, as in who, if you go on and say, I would like to have an email pen pal, I am happy to mentor or be mentored or just talk. So you've kind of got three options there. And then you don't even have to register yourself on the group, just PM the person that you're interested in and talking to. I wouldn't suggest you put your email on the forum, but do it by direct messaging. And then put back on the forum how you're getting on, because I would be interested to hear. Because there's no point me saying, oh, you have to be friends with so-and-so, because that's maybe not going the way it would work. I don't think I'd like that.
Coming up, it's there.
So coming up is still the Highland Wool Fest in Dingwall on the 24th of May, and I am going to, possibly Mother, and I will be going to have a meet up with Louise Scully of the Knit British podcast and Sheila of Black Isle Crafts podcast. Possibly Shiny Bees is getting our sheep organised. Possibly. Still not sure. The list of exhibitors has been announced, so it is going to be a really good day out. And the next episode, it might just be the day before. And then in July, the Unwind Brighton on the 12th and 13th news is the podcaster meetup is going to be on the Saturday the 12th at 1 o'clock in the mezzanine above the main shopping area in the Brighton Corn Exchange. So apparently that the marketplace is downstairs, and at 1 o'clock in between classes is our meetup. So you can come and poke us with a sharp stick if you like. And there is quite a few of you who have actually said that you're going to go along, so I'll be delighted to actually meet you in person. So I'm really looking forward to that. And it'll be my holiday time anyway, so yoo-hoo, bring it on. In September, there is the Knitting Pipeline Main Retreat. That's over in the United States of America. And... Hi, Mum.
Hi, Louise.
Hey, just a quickie, because you've been not really crafting, because you've been gardening. So there's no mum section, as to say, except to say, hey, who's going to the Knitting Pipeline Retreat in Maine in September?
me. And you.
And me.
Yes.
So I'm going with my mum.
I'm so excited.
Would you like to sing what you've always been singing?
La 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 America, la 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 America, la 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 America, la 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 America.
There you go. I just thought I'd let her tell you.
I was singing that when I went back home on holiday last week, and they were laughing. They had a good right, because I can't sing.
Yes, that's where I get my tuneful ear from.
So excited.
Cool. I thought I'd let you tell the listeners you were going.
Oh, yes.
I'll let you get on, because she's making us pizza just now. Yeah. Okay, thank you, Mum.
Thank you.
And you now have an earworm from my mother singing. Yeah. I'll not apologise, because I've had to put up with that my entire life. The bairns told her that I was going, and I looked at her little face, and she looked, I wanted to do that. And I said, well, would you want to go? And she said, yeah. Thankfully, we're all registered up, and she got her email to say she was accepted. So thank you, Paula, and all the lovely new friends I have on Ravelry. Who am I going to drink whiskey with? Don't worry, if you don't drink whiskey, new listeners to me, Mum doesn't, so you can sit with her. Now, who knows for certain if Glasgow Airport Security lets us take knitting needles through? I know the guidelines on British airports say that you can, but All airports are different, and although some airlines say you can, the security are the people who make the rules. So they should. It wouldn't be the end of the world, because I can embroider or crochet, but I would like to knit on the plane. And Mum actually asked me the other day, have you decided what you're taking to America to knit on? I thought, isn't that brilliant? But I did suggest then that we possibly did a swagger or one of Paula's patterns. The magic yarn cake ruffle shawl, possibly, because then we'll be in the gang with everybody else, because I'm sure they'll all have them. So the list is now set for this retreat, so I'm afraid if you haven't registered or either going or on the waiting list, your time has passed this year and you will have to live vicariously through me. And you know what? I'm happy to oblige. I will stop talking about it now for a while because I know how sickening it can be when it's all retreat, retreat, retreat and things, and you can't go to the retreat anymore. Moving on.
Runny, runny, runny. Who's the mummy?
Me, that's who. Runny. I am primed and I'm ready for the May 10K on Sunday. And Richard's not quite, because he almost broke his toe playing shinty at the weekend. But Keith Nash shinty sixes, they got through to the semi-finals in a Scottish tournament on Sunday. So congratulations to them. Anyway, Richard looked like Mr. Blobby on the way back because he had spots from welts where the shinty ball had hit him in various places. He says he hasn't broken his toe and the swelling's gone down, but it cannot be not sore. It's never stopped him, it won't stop him this week. However, he's that daft, he'll run it anyway. Now, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I do get quite grumpy when I'm running. And I know I recorded that I said I was grumpy, but I think I deleted it, so I don't think I've told you. And I figured out how not to get grumpy when I'm running. Either Louise slows down quite considerably and doesn't try to beat her time and stops being competitive. Or I listen to podcasts or books, not music, which I really like, but podcasts, because it takes my mind completely away from the running. Well, not completely. I know I'm still running and I'm still trying to, but I tune out to running and I tune into the podcast because I still find the running kind of hard. However, one of the rules of the May 10K is we are not allowed earphones, which is altogether rubbish. I suppose we're running on a main road and there's lots of us, but although me and my friend that were being competitive with each other says we think we might cope with it this time because we're going to be all excited, and I do want to hear what my neighbours shouting encouraging things like run faster fat girl, don't panic, I've primed them all to do that. On Facebook I often say if I was going to go out for a run and the delivery courier driver, she would toot the horn as she goes past, and it was quite handy to have people drive past me because I've been out training, because I've always felt I can't stop in front of them, and sometimes I go a bit faster to get out the way. So this episode's top tip, get a good support crew involved. Don't overdo it, and don't worry. I'll be dropping this section next episode because the May 10K is over for this year, and whilst Richard has grand designs on the Brora 10K, and then there's one in September at the Bailey Wind Farm, this section was only for us to encourage each other at the start, and for me to bore you stupid. So I'm sure some of you do hate this section, but for those that actually do run or have been encouraged to run because I've been talking about it, keep it up. Even if you've just managed a little bit or you've managed a marathon, well done. We're all brilliant. Yeah, pat each other on the back. There we go, pat, pat, pat. And I'd like to thank you for indulging me and the support I've had, which is great. Saying it like it's, I'm leaving you. For you still training your own events, runny, runny, runny. Who the mummy? You are. Yeah.
The review section.
Review section. Hey, I know I'm not supposed to be buying anything for saving up for America, so shh, don't tell Richard. Especially not you, Lynn. That's his mom. But, of course, but, full stop. I was in Tesco's, as my wont. I often go and look at the craft magazines. And as I was standing there thinking about the free gifts on the front, I quite like them, but I don't like how you can't flick through the magazine anymore because they're all got plastic covers over them now to see if you want to buy it. And I did get quite a lot of my cool little bits and pieces of notions and notion cases and the odd sets of needles when I started out knitting. Maybe I've been looking at them for too long now, because they've all gone a bit the samey kind of things to what I've had before. Or maybe now it's acrylic yarn. I don't really need any more yarn. Except in yellow and green for some reason. I have none of that. But I'm not hinting. I'm just talking out loud. And then I saw a new magazine called Love Sewing, which is published by Practical Publishing International. I quite like a first issue, so I bought it to review for you. Purely unselfish act for your entertainment. The free gift was a fat quarter of wee pattern flowers on a purple background, which is from the Kirsty Allsop range. She's a TV presenter who likes craft. She's a range of creative kits for sale in Hobbycraft, so you could make an apron, a pincushion or a notebook. And this has got an advert in the magazine. Also, it comes with a 52-page supplement called the Love Sewing Book of Liberty Sewing, which had 12 projects using the fabrics from the Liberty catalogue. These projects include wall hanging, pincushions, various bags, quilts and a scrunchie. And there's a code for 20% off all Liberty fabrics from a certain shop. And if you like Liberty fabrics, in any way, this will appeal to you. It's a little bit fussy for my taste. Or, well, I like it, but it always seems to be somebody else that's wearing it. And I think, well, I like that. Or they've got the material. Oh, that's really nice. But it would never occur to me to buy it. It's not something that I'm going, I see it in a shop and think, oh, I have to have that. That's for somebody else, if you get what I'm meaning. It was very eye candy, that's for sure. Now, there's a pull-out pattern sheet for the projects in the magazine, and you get a digital sample sew trace pattern. Now, I'm not sure I like digital patterns, because who has an A3 printer or a bigger one? And not many of us have one, and it has to all be printed on A4 and then patched together. I don't like that idea. And if you've done it and you like it, let me know how you get on, because all I foresee is lots of cutting and lots of pieces of paper and it doesn't appeal to me. Now, it was nice to see a fresh new magazine. They had a good range of people along the bottom at the front with all their wee biographies of the contributors, good photographs which are repeated through the magazine so you can see where their styles come from. They have the token nod to the Great British Sewing Bee with an interview from Mae Martin, because I think it's illegal to have a sewing magazine these days without an interview from the Great British Sewing Bee. There's pages for shopping for your fabrics, your sewing machines and your notions, for what's in fashion just now and also for the staples. Not staples as in keeping it together, but staples as in your basics. There is 5 dressmaking and bag patterns or techniques. I note that they have an article on a 30-minute fix on perfect jeans. Now, this is a pin on Pinterest that shows you how to do this, but I quite like the fact that they have this in a magazine because it's something simple that people can relate to and do with good instructions. There's a home and accessory section and everything from fabric boxes to how to master curtains. So it's aimed right across the spectrum of beginner to advanced. One thing I thought was missing from the fabric boxes was a wee diagram schematic of how you actually cut the material out, as it's described, but maybe it'll help my pinhead work out a bit better if it had a plan. I really like the pattern sheet because it's not one that says increase by 100% on a photocopier. I hate that, the vengeance, because I never do it. Now, I took the magazine and the supplement into textiles and it was well received by them. Most of them asked where it was bought and how much it was and pondered about buying it themselves. They loved the baby project, where you recycle a big bath towel into a baby gift. New babies get use out of towels with pockets over the corner so you can pop them over to their heads and wear them like capes. And they've designed this one to have a beak and be like a penguin. Now, who doesn't like making their baby look daft and cute, and obviously dressing them up in daft and cute things? And this pattern came from a book called Made for Baby. And the magazine's done this a few times with other patterns and taken it from the books that they're publishing. They've got a good discount and giveaway page and stuff directly related to the projects in the magazine. There's a good skills class on how to master 2 types of zip fitting. And there's a range of projects to recycle your stash into new items, or buying new stash and making the items from it. Now, I would say that there's enough of everything in this to keep you interested, and as a first edition, I did quite enjoy reading it. I did wonder where they got their letters and their letters pages from, though. Possibly a plant, but I'm just being cynical there. Now, the magazine itself cost £5.99, which I would say was a fair price for it, with the patterns in it, the articles, the extra fat quarter, and the supplement of the Liberty Sewing. I'd recommend this edition for you to grab up. And I'm not going to sound negative here, but it's, well, I've said that, it's the sewing equivalent of a knitting magazine for similarity, good range of articles, pattern freebies, technical information. It's not outstandingly different, but I did enjoy it, and I hope that they continue to go on having loads more. So that's Love Sewing Magazine.
The Swap Section.
Swap and Cal. Have you all sent and received your swap yarn? If not, please do so at your earliest opportunity, because the deadline has well passed. And if you can't or haven't, please let your swappie know and why, because it's only fair. We now have the knit along open for business for everyone to do something with their yarn that they swapped. Or if you would like to join in the 100 gram yarn knit, you don't have to have been in the swap to join this. It's any pattern you wish, but the rule is only 100 grams of 4-ply sock or fingering weight yarn can be used. And you have to have a finished object photographed and linked to the finished object thread by the end of June 2014. And I have a project bag made by me as a prize. So sign up and get knitting. I'm going to knit Sandy and Daisy's socks. More on that in a bit. Some of you have already finished, which is pretty cool. I am slow. But there are some really bonny shawls and socks going on in there. There's, to name a few, the Pretty Basic Shawl by Callio Knits, Travelling Woman Shawl by Liz Appanetti, Jake Socks by Regina Satta, Hermione's Everyday Socks by Erica Lauder, a Hemslow Shawl, Meva Socks, Wanada Socks, a Quoosh Shawlette, and a Mezzaluna Shawl. The list's quite long, and that's not all of them. It's quite a good resource to go and find things to do with your 100 grams of 4-ply, which is good because I often buy that randomly. Well, I'm sure some of you do that too. And I found a group on Ravelry called Small Shawl Lovers, which is very good. And I've been in a one skein and also half skein group for some time. So yes, we can use up that single skein in our stash. The next swap, it was suggested by the lovely PJ Knitting Nurse that we have a project bag swap. This one can be one that you've made or bought, but should be for a smallish project, so no bigger than 12 by 12 inches to keep it fair. Also, include a note and up to 3 items craft related. Sweeties are included in craft related. If you would like to be included in the next swap, so please go to the Ravelry thread and sign up in there. I'll have it open until the 31st of May 2014, and then I'll sign you partners, but hopefully I'll not get people that you've had before, and you can post it by the 30th of June 2014. I'm trying to think of good enough words to describe the lovely feeling that you get when a packet of goodies is just for you, and it's to do with craft. Jelly Belly Tastic is about right. Full of flavour, a good kick of sugar, and a lasting impression of weight. Challenge Cal. I actually got a very timely message from Arlen of the Lost Geek podcast this morning. She has invited us to join a Challenge Cal, although she sees it tentatively called a Challenge Cal. And she says that basically people can knit whatever they want, as long as it incorporates a technique that's new to them, say beaded knitting, a new type of cast on or increase, etc., double knitting, knitting in the round, etc. And we would support each other by providing resources or references. In the end, the finished object post should include a reference list that helped them, just like the Master Knitter program that Twinset, Jan and Ellen have been doing, and also the Lost Geek has been doing as well. This is where her idea came from. And other participants will benefit from having lots of technique reference lists. So this is how she was asked me to participate in it. She says, I could be a guest podcaster. I invite you to talk in my podcast about your own Challenge Cal project, or a travelling Cal host. You co-host the Cal and By Cal I Mean Knit Along for a month in your group for your members and invite them to post their finished objects in my group to be eligible for prizes at the end. Or I could offer a prize. Now, as it's so fresh off the press email, I haven't decided which one I'm going to do, but I'll be involved because it's a good time to get to that new freshy feeling started that we talked about last episode. New things are great started in the middle of the year, aren't they? I'll have to think of something new to try out now. But go to the Lost Geeks group on Ravelry to join in the Challenge Cal, which is where you're going to challenge yourself into a new technique or thing to do with mastering knitting.
The beaker section.
Me section. Poof, because it's all about me. I'm bored with myself already and I'm only on page 9. I finished the Karina Westerman pattern Tornved shawl. Woohoo! And I used Old Maiden Aunt 4-ply Selkie, which was a dark, dark grey. And Karina says that you can make this pattern with one skein, which is 400 yards or 385 metres. But I found I could not. I was one pattern line and a purl line short. And then I didn't do a stretchy bind off, but my normal one. And in the end, I had 2 metres less, so I probably could have done a bit more stretchy bind-off, but I was watching the yarn getting less and less and less, and I couldn't face picking up a bind-off. So I did about a quarter stretchy bind-off, went back into the normal, which is knit 2, pull first and stitch over the second. However, I finished. Can't tell, I don't think. I sewed in the end, and then I blocked it. And with every lace project, the shawl shows its true beauty on the blocking board. And I had thought this was going to be a smaller shawl because I had made the smallest version. Karina has quite cleverly written out the pattern, so if you want, you can add repeats of the middle lace repeats. And one thing that did get me was the pattern was going from one lace chart to another. My stitch markers for the repeats weren't right when I changed over. And luckily, I only got to the spine in the middle and I stopped. I thought, how come I didn't have 3 stitches at the start, but I've got 3 stitches at the end. And I put it down and I looked up everybody else's projects, notes, and thought, no, nobody else seems to be mentioning this. It's just user error again. But then I figured it out. You take all the stitch markers out for that lace repeat and then you can put them back in. So beware your stitch markers move. Now when this was wet and blocked, the yarn itself became much softer and it grew a bit too. If you like your shawls triangular with a garter stitch top and some bonny lace, oh yeah, mine has mistakes in the right hand side because you notice in my project page, you can't see them, that side, on purpose, then Tornved is the one for you. I didn't put beads in mine, but she's got instructions, pretty good ones if you do. And that's Tornved by the lovely Karina Westerman, and it's using Old Maiden Aunt's 4-ply in Selkie. I finished the Crochet Poncho by Dandelion Dreamers too. I had 600 grams of Melly Classic knitting yarn, which is 100% merino, from Liddell's, which lovely price, and it was in teal colour. And it's really nice yarn. Bonny colour, stitch definition, wonderful. It was quite a simple pattern, and Wesley suggested doing a UK triple stitch for the second half of the pattern. I stuck with the 3 lines pattern, which I thought was nice, and Sarah agreed with me. And she is my fashion police. Although I would have liked it a bit wider as it ends around my elbow on my left arm, but I really used up the whole 600 grams. I had kept a bit back to seam it and run a row of UK double crochets along the edge. So I had half a ball left over, but not enough to do another bow, so I don't feel like I've wasted any. It's warm and pretty, and it goes well over a long sleeve top or a fleece instead of the coat. So that's Crocheted Poncho by Dandelion Dreamers, which is free via Ravelry. Can us be show stuff? So, I started the bunting last night. I'm going to use the idea of chopping up a children's old picture book to make the pennants and sew it down onto cord. The book I have, because the idea I saw was a Beano Annual, But the book I'm using is a 2009 Farm and Sam annual, and I think it'll be an entry rather than a contender. The idea is okay, but it's quite simple, and I wouldn't get any extra credit for, oh well, she's put plenty of time and effort into that. It's just, oh, that's a nice idea. I've also started a tea cosy. Now I'm using the yarn that the lovely Eat Eggers Des Holton sent me, oof, a good year and a half ago now. Remember, I made a tea cosy out to post to New Zealand, but never got one back in return. Well, it's haunted me since. Thankfully, Des was such a kind soul. I have some of her naturally dyed yarn still in stash. Now, I don't have a tea cosy. The show schedule has tea cosy on it, so it's made. And I've gone for a 4x4 rib, and I don't have a pattern yet, so hopefully I'm going to improvise enough to... But I've got enough wool, so it's okay. But it's www.etsy.com/shop/eataker for Daisy's yarn. Also, I've looked out the pattern for a crochet snowflake. Now, I know Martin of the I Make podcast, who congratulations on completing the London Marathon, Martin. I didn't see it last episode and I meant to. Anyway, she is taking part with Benito in Australia for doing a snowflake cal this year. Well, cal, I've got it spelled K-A-L, it's a C-A-L because it's a crochet along. So you do 2 snowflakes every month from the book 100 Snowflakes to Crochet by Caitlin Sanino, which is great for Christmas planning. And I'm just going to go with patterns I already have because, remember, I'm not buying anything other than magazines to review for you. However, don't feel sorry for me because, or think I'm hinting. I'm explaining why I'm being mean and not buying the lassie's book that I'm saving up for America. But the schedule of the show says to crochet 3, and I thought I would do 1 with beads, 1 in wire, well, I'll try it, and a 3D one. But I'll have to practice because my snowflakes are not so good to date. I have now cast on Sandy's socks for my own 100 gram knit along, and I am going to use the Fish Lips Kiss Heel pattern by Socks Therapist, which was kindly gifted to me by the lovely Wallumby Dreamer. Thank you, Petal. She thought I needed a wee hand. It's very kind of her. Thank you. The pattern has 16 pages, which can be daunting when you open it. But when you break it up down, it's really not that bad. Socks Therapist patterns are a dollar because she says she wants to keep it affordable as possible. So I think that's really kind and not capitalistic of her, but spreading the love of the craft. She has you doing the draw around your foot on cardboard and measuring lots of places thing, which I did for Sandy and Daisy, which they found hilarious. Mind you, I was kind of tickling them at the time. And when you measure and count and do formula knitting with gauges. But I think it's all worth it as you end up with perfectly fitting socks for as long as their feet are size 12. And it's called a Fish Lips Kiss, as that's what the heel ends up looking like, a fish lips kissing. So pucker up, Flipper. I'll let you know more about this as I go on. I'm using the Knit Picks Fleecy, which, funnily enough, the twinsets were talking about this morning, and Fleecy means happy, I think, in Italian. And this is the colour named Marsh. And it's long repeats of brown, green and blue, so it comes out in stripes, which is very cool. I made the swatch and stapled it to the ball band. Quite cool of me, which I thought was very organised. I don't know why I did that, because it's not like I'll ever come back to it, because they've discontinued it. But the yarn is soft and it's got 75% superwash merino, 25% nylon for the strength and stretch. And my swatch is coming out at 10 stitches per inch. So this is for the 100 gram knit along, as I said. I started it cuff down again, and I'm doing a twisted by 2x2 rib. And it's slow. As I said, there are the on Twitter, twisted rib, you're twisting my melon man. You talk so hip, man, you're twisting my melon man. Call the cops. Right, everyone shake your maracas because Bez was in town. Hey, that's a Happy Monday song, by the way, in just case you wondered. So, I have something for you. When Richard does this, I am in fits. I read it on Pinterest. If you can't dance, and I know you're wondering what the noise is. If you can't dance, stand and spell your name out with your bum. Right, okay. Everyone stand up, save you driving. Stand up and wiggle your bum, spelling out your name. And even better, put some Tic Tacs or a wee box of sweeties, put in your back pocket, and you can dance and have percussion accompany it. So I'll do it for you just now. This is Louise spelled out in your bum. I wish I had a video podcast sometimes. You are welcome. I went for a rummage into my stash when I put my project bag back upstairs when I finished the Tornvid shop. And I found the Hogwarts Express shawl by Susan Ashcroft pattern sitting with the yarn ready and waiting. Actually, I just took the needle I'd been using, which was a Chai Gu red lace, fixed circular, 4mm, straight from the Tornvid shawl, straight to the Hogwarts Express bag. Great. And it's a top-down garter shawl with cabled owls along the bottom. And I am using Serdar Snuggly Baby Speckle. This is a cotton blend double knit in a 50 gram ball. And I bought it from John Lewis a few years back now with Giffnet Girl in attendance. And I wanted an owl colour. And this is a speckled white with fawn speckles in it. So Baby Speckle was a good name. And it's lovely and soft and squishy. And it's, for being a cotton yarn, it's not sore at all to knit with, and it really would make a lovely little jumper for baby. It's squishy and it makes great garter stitch. I'm not so sure how it washes because I didn't think about doing that. No. Anyway, it will wash because it's cotton and acrylic. Oh, it's acrylic. Oh dear. I'm doing it using the 4mm needle, which I said, and the pattern is really relaxed. In a way, I hate that because I like to know exactly what to do. But if you like that kind of knitting straight up your street, it's a very popular pattern. And I've been going through the notes and the forum notes to get tips and hints. I'm on the garter stitch bit at the bottom and it's very easy knitting. That's the bit I like. And it's, say, I've got 405 metres of this because I bought 3 balls. And it says you need 350 to 400 metres. So I'll have more than enough. But when I'm saying it's relaxed, it's you knit the garter stitch for 45% of your yarn. I don't know how I'm going to cope with that. I'll have to get my OCD way of, it doesn't tell me exactly where I started. How many stitches should I have? I can cope with that. I'd also been asked by the school's nursery to alter some cushions for them. They were sausage-shaped cushions to go on wee benches, long benches, that they had just had built. One cushion was 20 inches too long and the other was 30 inches too short. So I took them home and I thought, how am I going to do this? So I had to chop the inner cushion up, which my sewing machine didn't think too much of. I tried to do a kind of steek on it, as in stitch two lines and then cut up the middle of it, but my sewing machine was having none of that. So I muddled through, I think is the best word, and I managed to shorten the cushion and the cover reasonably easily. I even zigzagged down the end seam to keep it from fraying quickly. And if you don't have an overlocker or a serger, this is a good thing to do. Zigzag the very edge of your fabric, which gives it a lot more stability. And those that don't know what an overlocker is, well, everybody, get your hem of your garment, except you driving, but everybody else can do it. And look at the hem of your garment, if you've not made it. See, there's a zigzag along the edge, that's where this fancy machine zigzags along and cuts the material away at the same time. It's professional to look at and it stabilises your fabric to give you the longevity of a garment. I got an extra piece of hard-wearing green cotton. I had my fabric stashed from IKEA for the longer cushion. I thought, oh, this is nice, and that's before I knew exactly what to do with things. I had to trim the edge seam off the existing cushion and add the green fabric in the middle and put the other cushion, the extra piece, which happened to be its end, onto it. I don't know if I understand that, so don't I expect how you will. However, it was a bit fiddly. I had to put in an old pillow and it seemed to work, and I've delivered it and they had no complaints. So, cool. So we now have the correct fitting cushions for nursery as my end sentence. On to the collective. Let's move on. I went to the Caithness Quilter Sewing Day. This is where we can sew whatever we like, but they have some patterns going around just to try if we wished. They were trying origami style bags and boxes this month. Last month they'd made a cat and a dog pin cushion. And I thought, oh, pin cushion. But no. So I got the pattern and I took them home. And I had some dog and cat printed material that Trine had sent me last year. And I had been saving it, you know. And it was perfect for the perfect time. Saving it for good. And this was good. I had the bairns helping because they'd seen the patterns and decided they wanted them. I wasn't getting a look in. And with all toys, they are quite fiddly to finish. But they both came out quite well. And I know the pound cushions for the cat are show schedule, but neither my dog or cat were a good enough standard to put in. I might make another one, but I might not. And I was actually making some project bags, one for one of you lovely listeners, when I was there, because I'm nice that way. I like to have a few drawstring bags for giveaways and possibly the shop. And I was using a piece of yellow hand-dyed material up and some spotty material, and it came out really bonny. Quite hard to look at, actually, because it's all spots. Now, at the textile artists, I had picked up my shiny material sample again. This week, I was crocheting some brown crochet thread onto chains and then stitching them over the chiffons, which gave the area texture and depth. Sounds very arty. I'm quite tempted to cut it up and put it on some notebooks, but I was told to finish it first and then see what you think. Now, Anne had her embellisher machine in, and this looks like a sewing machine, but it has four needle felting needles in it, and there's no thread, and it goes up and down just like the sewing machine does, but no thread. So you put your piece of material underneath, and then you start building up your felt, and it just works much faster than the one needle. You don't have as much control, but it's good for doing big areas. Well, Anne, that's what Dorothy thought about it, but Anne seemed to be doing really well, and she made this square that had teals, greens and purples and blues on them, and it's for all the world like a peacock's feathers at the back. It was beautiful. Now, they were having a wee shot of it, but I'd tried Catherine's before, kind of scared me actually. And plus, I was wanting to kind of work on my shiny piece instead of stopping and doing this. And I've got pictures to update for the blog for textiles, because I was told by them, some of the relations look at it, who don't look close by. And it's not been updated in weeks, months in fact. Joan is doing a piece from a Stitch magazine where you get an embroidery hoop with, and you use red material, or you could use white I suppose, and you sew buttons on in random places. Then you hand embroider around them to make them the centre of flowers, and it's very effective. Celia has completed one already. Joan loved it so much she started one and made a great piece for the Canasby show. I could even use a smaller hoop instead of the bigger ones that they were doing. I hadn't thought of that. Good idea. Dorothy has finished the small hand embroidery piece of seascape that she'd been working on. I think she stuck it to the front of the book. Shirley was sitting beside me. She talked to me quite a lot. Cannot remember what she was doing with her hands. Remember what she said? Not what she was doing. I can tell you she was wearing a purple hand knitted scarf. It was in a centipede pattern. Catherine! But what she was actually doing? I'll have to refer to my photos. Catherine was sewing on a piece of felted fleece, and it's very natural. You sheepy people would love it. Celia was finishing her pin loom rag rug, and it came out really nicely as well. Dorothy had given her some old curtains in a navy and orange, and Celia had cut them into strips, which took quite a while, and then ironed them, if I remembered rightly, which took a while as well. And the end result was impressive. Not that I want to try it, but she did a very good job.
The Caithness section.
Caithness segment. Scooby-Doo ourselves back in time. Doodaloo-loo, doodaloo-loo, because we've not done this in ages. Doodaloo-loo, doodaloo-loo. Previously on Caithness Facebook, we were talking about Earls, and not my name is Earl, but my name is Sinclair. Sinclair's a very common name here now. They even have a bay named after it, Anna Castle, you know, because that's what you do when you're an Earl. Right, be sitting comfortably, children. Be sitting. then we shall begin. Back, back in the midst of time, the earldom of Caithness and Orkney was won. Then it got split, about 1379, joined up again, and around 1455, and split again after. Now, back the last time we had this history segment, we left with Henry St. Clair as the Earl of Orkney. And Henry was interesting because his father, also a Henry, had been one of the five knights who carried King Robert the Bruce's heart in a casket to the Holy Land in 1329 to be buried in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Can't say that. His grandson Robert II awarded Henry St. Clair Orkney and other lands. He was accepted by King Hakon VI of Norway reluctantly, as there was no other good claimant at the time. His mother was Isabella, who was daughter of Malays V, and he was Earl of Strathearn, Caithness and Orkney. And there was no real good Norwegian relatives left by this time. And it says here that Henry didn't get Caithness, but he got Orkney and Strathearn. An earl was the highest dignity in Scotland at the time. Guess who's the current Earl of Strathearn? Yep, Prince William. Well done to you at the back. Well done. So, about this time, 1375, not Prince William time, Malaise's other daughter, Matilda's son, Alexander de Ard, got the Caithness gig. Now, he didn't cut the mustard and he was shoved out. But instead of passing the earldom on to Henry, it went back to the crown. Nobody wanted it. We were nobody's child. We were eating worms down at the bottom of the garden, far from away from the crown, bit poor, and I would say not much good coming from us. No gold or that kind of stuff. Isabella held on to the revenues from the county on her till her death in 1424. James Stuart I gave Walter Stuart, who was the Earl of Athol, the title, and his son, he let his son Alan have it. Alan died not long after, and then Walter in 1437, unfriended by King James, involved in his assassination, and his son James II, Maine, had Walter evilly done away with. He was stabbed in a sewer, no less, it was he was trying to escape. James was 7 at the time, so this was the man in the court who did this part. And Caithness had no friends again. So in 1450, its status married to George, Lord Crichton, and he was Chancellor and Lord High Admiral of Scotland. Well, we're coming up in the world's there. In other words, he was high up and he was light and he had loads of friends. But when you're King of the Hill, remember, there's always someone behind you. And in 1455, status divorced. James persuaded to hand Orkney and Caithness over to Lord William Sinclair, the Earl of Orkney. I like this next bit. We now come to the bit where Orkney gets status divorced from Norway. I don't know why I like this, but I just do. Caithness had already been under Scottish rule from 1266, but Orkney was still looked after by Scandinavia. In 1468, James III was on the throne of Scotland and he was lined up to get married to Margaret, who was the daughter of King of Denmark, who was now the king of all Scandinavia, including Norway and Sweden. King D was supposed to cash up loads of money for Margaret's dowry. And this is back in the day when fathers had to pay for getting their daughters married off. Actually, when you think about it, not much has changed because fathers don't just pay for weddings, but education, accommodation, transport. I bet they all wish they could just back in the old days, eh, Pops? Well, King D wishes he just had to buy an iPad and a dinner service, but nope. Instead, he pawned Orkney and Shetland to Scotland. And Orcadians call this the Impignoration. There's that pig again. Wars and pigs, it must be a thing. And thus, Scotland as we know it now was sorted. Shetland got moved from the Scandinavian weather forecast box on the left to Scotland's weather forecast box on the right. William Sinclair, who was Earl at the time of Orkney, had to formally surrender his earldom to the crown. But William was quite a clever wee cookie, and he was as shrewd as a shrew. And he'd been building up private holdings of his land called Conquest Lands, and they moved from being the Earl to being the biggest landlord in the counties, or a taxman, TACKSMAN. All this talk of tacking, which is not thread, it's money and tax. I will rest the history book until next episode, where the good, the bad and the ugly come into the fray yet again.
Shoppy section.
If you feel you would like to contribute to my continued running of the podcast but get stuff back, please go visit www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft. I've got a couple of items in there. I've got a handbag that's made from a felted piece of knitting and it's got a cable running across the bottom of it. It's in purple, blues and reds and it's got bonny wooden handles. And it's lined 10 by 8 inches. Perfect for your peas and candles and keys. Perfect, well, you could put your peas in there, but I wouldn't recommend it. Put your purse, your candle and keys. And also, I've got a couple of wee notebooks that have got heavily hand embroidered at the front. Perfect for your knitting bag. Or your wee handbag, that would be perfect too. So you can go to www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft.
Blah 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 section.
Thank you very much for listening. I do appreciate you taking the time to download and listen to me. And if you're running, you've not got far to go now. Come on, Ellen, get those knees up. My email is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I'm on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest and Facebook as Caithness Craft. You can access the Flickr photos from LouiseJ2010 or visit the Podbean site as www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com and the photos are down the right hand side. The music was from Mark Gunn's Wild Mountain Time and you can go buy this at musicalley.com. Ronnie, I'm the mummy. That's who. Thank you for listening and do keep on crafting.
Together to pull wild mountain time all around. Will you go, lassie, go? Will you go, lassie, go? Will you go?